Years ago, as a young coal miner, young businessman, packing in my business, becoming a labourer, becoming a part-time evangelist in Leeds, I met a lovely old guy called Eric Birkinshaw. What a star. I love this man to bits. He was like a father to me in the faith. And then he said to me one day, he says, Pete, what are you come for? Why have you come to Leeds City Mission? I says, Eric, I love God. I love the Lord so much. I just want to serve him. And I want everybody to know who Jesus is. And I want everybody to know that Jesus loves him and he wants that relationship with him. And he turned around to me and said, Pete, I believe that God's calling you to Bible college. I says, you have got to be winding me up. Why on earth do I want to go to Bible college? And he just said to me, pray about it. So I went back to Ruth, and Ruth said, I don't think we need to go. I think you're misinterpreting scripture, etc., etc. Anyway, cut a long story short, it may be about 6-8 months afterwards, God confirmed it to me that it were right for us to go. We left Leeds City Mission, and we went off, and it was... I just couldn't believe how God had put everything in place and made it so clear that I couldn't get out of that, even when I wanted to. So we obeyed the Lord, we really loved him, we thought, okay, we'll go off to Bible college. And I went back to Leeds City Mission and I said to this old guy, Eric Birkinshaw used to be a missionary in Pakistan, beautiful man of God. And I went up to him, we were having a coffee in his house, and I said to him, Eric, how did you know? How did you know? And this is what he said to me. He says, Pete, when you've walked with the Lord as long as I have, you get to know his voice. And I've never forgot that. I remember praying and saying, Lord, I want to be close like that to you. I want to be able to know your voice. So here we've got God working with Philip. And there's been lots and lots of persecution. He's in a place that you and I dream of, a revival. There is things going off and God is doing this stuff. And God speaks to him and said, leave Samaria and go and stand on the desert road and wait. Now, I don't know if I'd have heard God like that, because if I'd been praying for revival for such a long time and I'm in the middle of a revival, then I aren't moving. Do you know what I mean? Because I've been praying for this. But he was so close that he knew God were leading him. And he heard God and he did exactly what God told him to do. This, the next bit, I love. It's one of them things that's riveted in me now. If Philip would have been so committed to evangelism and mission, first and foremost, he'd have never left Samaria, because that would have been his dream, a revival, wow. But you know something? Philip was so committed to God that he could hear his voice. And he knew when the Holy Spirit was speaking to him. And obviously then he spoke to this Ethiopian eunuch, and this guy was saved and baptized, and then the gospel went into Africa. Wow, goodness me, God knows exactly what he's doing. I want us just briefly to look at the Holy Spirit in the life of Jesus. What did that look like? We're going to be looking at five words as I've been looking through this. Just before and after his temptation. Five words. Number one, Luke chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. If you want to follow me in that, I'm not going to read them. But first of all, it is obedience. Number one, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was baptized too. It's looking at his obedience. He didn't have to do it. He was totally sinless. But he did it, as it says in Matthew, as an act of righteousness. He identified with us. And he did it as an act of an obedience to God. And then in this, well, I'm going to come on to that in a little moment. That's number one. Number two is assurance, because two things happened at his baptism. Number one, the Holy Spirit came upon him as a dove. And number two, the Father spoke from heaven saying, you are my son who I love. I am well pleased with you. So the whole Trinity were involved here at his baptism. So number one, we've got obedience. Number two, we've got assurance. Number three is a testing. We looked at that a little bit in the life of Joseph this morning. Jesus is led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and where he defeats the enemy from every angle. Number four, power. Luke chapter 4 and verse 14, it says that Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news spread from town to town. So he defeated the enemy, and then he came back in power. Number five is freedom, because you'll find, especially in the book of Luke, who is emphasizing Jesus' humanity, he talks about Jesus' freedom. When he had the power of the Spirit, he came back to his hometown in Nazareth. He's in the synagogue, and this is where he reads Isaiah chapter 61, where the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. And then he's in Capernaum, and he spoke with an amazing teaching. And the people said, we've never heard anyone like this. He teaches as one having authority. So Jesus here is moving in power. And the Spirit of God was in him and upon him. Wow. So five key things. He obeyed. He got assurance. He was tested. He came back from that test in power. And then the freedom that he had. It says that his fame spread through all that kind of region. I think the importance of this is he had a close connection. It's a model. As I look at this, at his baptism, going through that testing in the wilderness and then coming out of that, it's a model. Jesus, we're always modeling things for you and I. So I want you just to turn back to Luke chapter 4. And we're going to read a few verses from here. As you know yourself, that Luke were originally one book with Acts. But let's just read Luke chapter 4. This is important. Verse 1 of Luke chapter 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit into the wilderness. So number one, he was filled with the Spirit then. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil, and he ate nothing during those days. And when they had ended, he became hungry. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. And you know what we've done. We've done this. I think we did this a few months ago. So Jesus then defeated the enemy with the power of the word, recognizing they were full of the Spirit. Then look at verse 14 of the same chapter. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. And news about him spread throughout the surrounding district, and he began teaching in their synagogues. This is the model that Jesus has left for you and I. Being led, I've been kind of looking at that. What does it mean? When Jesus was being led into the wilderness by the Spirit, this is interesting, he wasn't driven, but it actually means being led by the hand. Kind of, you imagine that, feeling as though the Holy Spirit is just saying, let me lead you into this. Jesus is full of the Holy Spirit. And then when he comes out in power. So these things don't happen by chance. This was the point that I was trying to make this morning. Every trial, every test is tailor-made for the reason of building us up. The enemy wants to tear down. But every time you and I come in to face a trial, then God is there to equip us, to build us up. The enemy to tear down. Here Jesus overcame that time with the enemy, and then he came out in power, the power of the Spirit. And that's the whole reason why he was led of the Spirit into the wilderness. Sometimes it's very difficult, isn't it, when we try and think, here we go again, I'm always seems to be facing something, I always seem to be battling against something. And folks, God's in it. He's developing us. He's kind of making us stronger. And I think this is the point here of this kind of pattern, that being full of the Holy Spirit and coming out in the power of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus was led to be tested. He was then tested to be prepared. And then he was prepared to be empowered. And that's when his whole ministry really took off in quite a remarkable way. Anyway, that's two things. Because we've got lots of things that we could talk about being led. But to me, this is where it all starts. And I want you to turn, please, in your Bible. This is the main part that we're going to be looking at tonight. Is another chapter 8, but it's the book of Romans. Romans is just like a mini Bible all of its own. Romans chapter 8. Before God can... I know he's using us now. But before God can greatly use us, just like this model with Jesus, being filled with the Spirit, that's why I keep talking about being filled from Ephesians chapter 5, but then coming out of his experience and his fight and his win over Satan in the power of the Spirit, is that some things have to sometimes happen within us to get to that. And this is Romans chapter 8. And I want us to read from verse 13, if we could. Sorry, verse 12. So then, brethren, we are under obligation, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, then you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the Spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry, Abba, Father. And so the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. Living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, being led of the Spirit. And when you look at stuff like this, and as we read about what the Holy Spirit does and who he is, you think, how can a church lose that? How can an individual lose that influence and that strength and that power? Listen to what Paul says about Galatians. He says, you've started in the Spirit, how come now you're trying to finish in the flesh? And then when we look at Revelation as well, it's how sometimes churches can weaken. Here it's talking about sons and daughters of God are led by the Spirit of God. Now I find this really interesting here. For if you are living according to the flesh, you'll die. But if you, by the Spirit, this is the key. If by the Spirit you are putting to death, there are things in our life, folks, that you and I, not just trying to put to death on our own, but it says by the Spirit, you and I put things to death. Because it's these things that are stopping us winning. It's these things in our life that are becoming hindrances and blockages, because there's some things we've never really fully given over to God. And so here, this is what the Apostle Paul is saying. He says, by the Spirit, put these things to death. In other words, die to them. And you and I, this is our battle. Every day to die to the sinful nature that we've all got. This is why Paul said every day, he says, I die daily. And this is our battle. So when you look at Jesus being filled with the Spirit and then he came out in power, why? It's because he won. And God has called you and I to win in Christ. Wow. God has called you and I to overcome. to put things to death. This is what we're talking about here. It's not saying here that you're daughters and sons of God because you go to church and you take communion, etc., etc. He's saying here that you are sons and daughters of God if you are led by the Spirit. And being led of the Spirit at times, he helps us look internally. He's the one who leads us into joy. He's the one who leads us into love. He's the one who leads us into repentance. Yet he can lead us into all kinds of miraculous stuff and people, etc. And all that palaver. It's fantastic. But first of all, God is kind of encouraging us. Pete, don't fall for that anymore. Put it to death. It don't belong to you. Don't keep giving in to that part of your flesh. That is not of you. That's not. Come on. Come on, Pete. Because I'm taking you on a journey. I want you to put things to death. Wow. And this is what it's talking about here. By the Spirit. You know, some things that I look back on, that I tried so hard to muster up all my strength and all my willpower to kind of put things to death. And all I did was just barter with it and kind of, you know, do you know when you try and you try and you try and you think, I can't keep this up. It's too hard. And I think that's why Paul is saying here in verse 13, if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So the evidence that you and I, when we get to know each other, as we see God working in each other. Oh, wow, folks. You know, I need your encouragement. I really do. I need your encouragement. Please, after this meeting, come in. Pete, how are you doing with God? Where are you in your walk with God? Let me do that with you. And let's do it with each other. How are we really? Well, I'm kind of struggling with this. Okay, well, let's pray. Let's ask God by his Spirit to give us strength to kind of, it's dying to stuff. It's not trying to barter with things and mustering up all our willpower. He leads us to repentance. He leads us to fullness. He leads us to the power of the Holy Spirit within every life to overcome. I know I'm trying to make it sound easy. And you know as well as I do, it's a massive battle. But this is the lovely pattern that I see here in Jesus. It's lovely when you look at verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery, leading to fear again. In other words, don't go back. But you've received the spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father. The cry of the Holy Spirit within us is Abba, Father. And Abba and cry are very, very deep words in the Greek language. It's full of affection. It's full of love. It's full of adoration. It's what we were doing as we were singing and worshiping. Full of adoration and full of praise. This is the Holy Spirit crying out, Abba, Father, within us. Verse 16, the Spirit himself, not an it, not an influence, not this, not is he, is God the Holy Spirit, testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. Wow, how many people know the Bible and they read it and they can quote it and they know all the doctrine, but the witness within us, wow, that's when you and I know that we belong to God. We're his children. And he's at work in us, not because we read it, even though that's true, but because there's a witness of God within. I don't think there's anything greater than that. The witness of the Holy Spirit working in us. And as you look at these chapters, chapter 6 and chapter 7 and chapter 8, this is the testimony of Paul. Chapter 6 is living a life of defeat. Who's going to deliver me from this body of decay? I'm tired of it. I'm thinking stuff that I shouldn't do. And there's things that I should be doing and I can't do. And then we come into chapter 7 and it's a little bit different. And he talks about the death life and the how to live in Christ. And then chapter 8, 26 times it mentions God, the Holy Spirit. In the previous two chapters, I think it mentions mentions the Holy Spirit twice. So all of a sudden, this is Paul's testimony. And he's walking into this. There's a massive emphasis on the Holy Spirit. And as you and I know, the Holy Spirit, he's the one who sheds light on Jesus, because we can't understand anything without him. He's the one that sheds light on Christ, the one that we love, the one that we adore, the one that we walk with every day. So this here, in this context, is talking about killing it. And if we're led by the Spirit, then this is what the Spirit is helping us to do. Moved by him, led by him, he's leading us. And here, this is Paul, as he's talking about crying out, Abba Father. And then in verse 17, he begins to say, look, you and I are joint heirs with Christ. Everything that he has, everything that he is, he shares with you and I. And the blessing in that, the richness of that, even when you read it, and if children, heirs also, heirs of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him so that we also be glorified with him. And as you read on, especially in this chapter, Paul's thrilled with the process and the progress that he's making in God. And this is what he's saying to him. I want you to receive and have the same joy that I have. I want you to have the same fullness of God that I have. I want you to have what God wants you to have. And Paul, this is his testimony, receiving this Spirit of adoption, crying out, Abba Father, because it's the Holy Spirit who makes it all real to you and I. Oh, wow. Goodness. You know, the times that I've taught this, I've read it, we've got into conferences, it all sounds great. And we know our theology. We know our doctrine. We've got it all. But when we look at all that, sometimes that is not my reality. I can quote it and I can teach it and I know where it's found, but I don't know it. I really don't know that. So God wants you and I to be led of his Spirit, even to put things to death, even led to maybe say and to do things you've never even thought about doing. I don't think I ever even entered into Philip's mind of going into Samaria and beginning to preach about Christ. Oh, wow. Be filled with the Spirit. It's a command. And here, as the last few weeks, not to grieve the Spirit, to be sensitive to him. Not to dampen the Spirit. Sometimes you and I can really dampen the Spirit by what we believe. And sometimes believing stuff that's totally wrong. And then here, being led of the Spirit. Even if the Holy Spirit is leading us through a difficulty, it's for a reason to build us up. So you and I, when we've been led into it, and we've been led through it, and we've been led out of it, we come out so strong in God. Let's pray before we sing our closing song. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you, as we read in your word and we listen to the Apostle Paul and we listen to other great men and women of God, to know and to realize, Lord, tonight that you want to fill us afresh with your Spirit. To be led of your Spirit every day. Lord, we want to live that life with you that is close and intimate. And that we would know your whispers, we would know your word. We would walk with you, living God. We thank you again for loving us the way that you do. And Lord, we've been right at the beginning of this meeting, just the freedom, Lord, of being able to do that We sensed your presence. We sensed your delight. We sensed your joy, and it was just an honor to be with you, Lord, to be able to sing and to praise and to adore you. But Lord, tonight we want to again just lay our life before you. Take us and use us. Fill me anew. And Lord, teach us how to overcome, so that we would know what it means to know the power of the Spirit of God as you lead and continue to guide. Thank you that you're making us more like Jesus each and every day. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your greatness. Thank you that you are so worthy to be praised. And we love you, Lord, so love you. And we bless you tonight, Father. Amen.